Yeah, Char.
Please pray with me the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Make us hunger for your word that it may nourish us in the ways of eternal life. Amen. The first scripture reading today is found in our bulletin, real easy to find. It's taken from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and it's from the Common English Bible. So let's read this responsively. I'm going to start with 1 and, you know, do the odd verses, and you guys do the even verses, okay? Hear what the Lord is saying. Arise, lay out the lawsuit before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice.
Hear, mountains, the lawsuit of the Lord. Hear, eternal foundations of the earth. The Lord has a lawsuit against his people. With Israel he will argue.
My people, what did I ever do to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me.
I brought you up in the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam before you.
My people, remember what Moab's king Balak had planned and how Balaam, Beor's son, answered him. Remember everything from Shittim to Gilgal, that you might learn to recognize the righteous acts of the Lord.
With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burned offerings? With your old calves?
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit?
He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God.
Standing on the road.
while the choir is reclaiming their seats, just an observation, if I may. As you may know, I'm married to an oneophile. That's a fancy word for a wine lover. And one of the things I've learned from her about a really good wine is it improves with age. Who am I talking about? The choir. I come every Sunday waiting to see what they're going to uncork next for us. Thank you. Sour grapes? No, no. Turning now, please, to the New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew, 5th chapter, first 12 verses. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. If you've ever been there, it's not a mountain, it's a big hill. Anyway, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the meditations of the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Many of you know I grew up in the South. And there's a dangerous phrase when you hear it, you know you're in trouble. It says, "Why, bless your little heart." That's not what they're saying. In case you didn't know that, it's a pretty polite dismissal. The only word as a kid that I feared more was when my middle name was called. You know, we've all been through that, I bet. And I got to thinking about this "bless your little heart." And in today's culture, we have a lot of people that have bumper, you know, their license plates say "blessed," or they say "I'm blessed" or "have a blessed day." Right? We hear that, pretty common. Then I read the Beatitudes. Listen to them again. Is this what we want if we're blessed? "Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute." Is that what we're wishing on people? When we say, "Have a blessed day." A puzzle. A puzzle. Does it mean to be blessed we have to do these things or be these things? I don't think so. When we talk about ministry, and it's not just people like me who stand in the pulpit, but people like us who are seeking to be God's people, there are a couple P words that get applied to ministry. One is a prophetic voice. The other is a pastoral relationship. This is not a prophetic voice. This is not the way we're being told, "Thou shalt do." This is the way the Good Shepherd, the pastor of us all, stands beside us when we have done things and sought to be God's people. Now, we read from Micah. And Micah, that last part is, I mean, it's two pieces. You saw it if you looked at it, you read it in the bulletin. There's first the lawsuit scene, where God's chewing on his people, and then comes, okay, we're off base, what should we do? And out comes that phrase that we heard. That's the prophetic voice. That is what we should be doing. I think the Beatitudes are the pastoral voice, are God's response to us when we have heeded the prophetic voice. Now, I have an in-class assignment. Just say out loud then, what is it you might assign, a J, an L, or an H for blessed are the poor in spirit? Which would that be? H? Okay. Blessed are those who mourn. Love. Okay. Blessed are the meek. Justice. Justice. And H. We hear J and an H. Anybody want to talk about that? I'm curious. How justice and how humility? Okay. Hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Justice.
Okay. Blessed are the merciful. Justice for that one. I heard somebody say, does anybody disagree significantly? Pure in heart.
L.
Others, H, could be both, okay. Peacemakers.
Justice,
okay. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Justice, okay. Faithful love could put us in that position as well as having sought justice, okay? Revile you and persecute you? Justice?
Humility?
And love? Hey, it wins all three, huh? Okay. But do you see in part how these, in a funny way, play with Micah? They are talking about what happens for folks when they try to do those things, when they try to do justice and embrace faithful love and walk humbly with their God, that God doesn't leave us or them hanging. God comes to us as the pastor to stand with us as we experience the consequences of having done that. Now, being blessed isn't being lucky. It's not being fortunate. In some ways, in its root sense, being blessed is to have had hands laid upon us. When a father in ancient Israel gave the blessing to his son, he laid his hand on his head. And in doing so, he gave him something of value or an affirmation of status. Not too many Sundays ago, we saw some hands being laid on a head as we ordained. Christmas Eve, we saw a hand on the head of an infant. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And those of you who come to the services for healing and wholeness on Monday nights when we have them, you may have seen hands laid on people who are seeking healing, who are seeking God's blessing. So this whole thing to me is a chicken-egg kind of problem. which comes first, being blessed or doing that which we're empowered to do by being blessed and being blessed and again. It's like a merry-go-round. We're constantly getting on and off of it. That's the way it is. That we are blessed because we have done that which we were blessed or called to do. As I puzzled, how does this all fit together, I realized it's Communion Sunday. In a few moments, we'll join at the Lord's table. And I think a lot of it for me comes together at the table. The words we will hear say, listen to them. Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it. Hear that word, blessed. That sits in the middle of communion. Without blessing, the bread we have stays ordinary, ready to be made into toast or turned into a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Without blessing, the bread stays ordinary. And the bread being blessed blesses us and calls us to be a blessing for others. The bread calls us to be a part of the loaf, to be a part of the body of Christ, the church. The bread reminds us that we are indeed those who are poor in spirit. We are those who mourn. We are those who are meek. We are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are the merciful. We are the pure in heart. We are the peacemakers, and maybe even sometimes we are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. As we seek to be, to participate in, to be a part of, and we act it out in communion, as we seek to be a part of the body of Christ, to receive His blessing because we need it. As we seek to do that and come to the table, we hear these words as well. For ours is the kingdom of heaven. That is the feast in God's kingdom. For there we are comforted. There we inherit the worth, because the things on the table are the things of the earth. We will be filled. It always amazes me how that little piece of bread and that little sip is such a satisfying meal. And we can leave the table so full. And there we receive mercy, because none of us deserve what we get in getting God's love. And there we see God somehow in our midst. And there we acknowledge the fact that we are the children of God who came to His table to be fed and nourished, to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. So at the table, the Beatitudes play out. They come alive. They become something we can put our hands on. And so later, when we come to the table, we will come to be blessed and to be a blessing. We will come to the table to find Christ's call, Christ's challenge, and Christ's comfort. We will come to be made whole in and through our brokenness. So when I say come later, please come to be made whole, to be blessed, and to be a blessing.